Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan Sivasankaran from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome all the participants and the management of Bharat Petroleum Corporation to this 2Q FY22 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, Director of Finance, Mr. Manoj Heda, Executive Director of Corporate Finance, Mr. Pankaj Kumar, CGM Corporate Treasury, Mrs. Jenny CL, DGM Pricing and Insurance, Mr. Piyush Borania, Senior Manager, Pricing and Insurance. I'd like to hand over the floor to Mr. Piyush for taking it forward. Over to you, Piyush.
Thanks, Mr. Varatharajan. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you one and all to this post Q2 results con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call are based on our assessments of the matter, and we believe these statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. Since this is a quarterly result review, please restrict your questions to the Q2 results. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning. Season's greetings to one and all. Welcome to the quarter two post results con call. Hope you are able to go through our results for the quarter gone by. We would like to highlight a few points relating to the past quarter. Indian economy is assumed to revise its growth of 9.5% in 2021-22, in which agricultural and allied activities, industry and service sector are likely to register a growth of 3%, 12.3%, and 11.4% respectively due to the base effect of last year. As the country recovered from the impact of second wave of COVID, BPCL recorded the highest sales growth in MS at 15% for quarter two when compared to year-on-year basis in the PSU space. BPCL has gained market share both in the urban and highway sector, where we are traditionally strong, and in the rural markets through strategic network expansion and focused retention. With the commissioning of the MSBP unit at Kochi, we are well placed to cater to the increased MS demand without resorting to any imports. Similarly, for HSD also, we stood first amongst the PSU by growing at a rate of 8% as compared to the Q2 of the previous year. Freight transport will continue to be dominated by HSD as a fuel in the foreseeable future. As on 30th September 2021, BPCL has the second highest number of outlets at 19,251 number and continues to have the highest throughput per outlet among the PSU peers. Further, we have improved our market share almost close to 30% for MS and HSD in the retail space at the end of quarter two of the current fiscal year. BPCL is aggressively adopting emerging technologies to leverage opportunities. I would like to spell out a few initiatives that have been taken by us in the retail space to further improve its share of business. During the year, we propose to expand CNG stations network from 680 to 687 to 1,000 by year-end. And in the EV space, we are already have 7 battery swapping stations and 45 public charging stations in 11 cities. For 54 charging station, installation work is in progress. And we also propose to make our retail outlets as energy stations. Almost around 1,000 retail outlets we want to make it as energy stations in the near term. This will cater to all forms of energy needs of a customer, be it MS, HSD, CNG, or EV. UFIL has been launched in 65 cities so far to give the control of filling the fuel in the hands of the customer through digital experience. BPCL has migrated from conventional point of sale machine to Android-based POS machines that is well integrated with MPDs for correct billing and ensuring right quantity. We have covered all the major ROs, almost 97.12% of RO network with APOS machines, that is Android-based POS machines. Moving to other major products, in LPG, BPCL grew by 4% as compared to Q2 of the previous year. In case of ATF, we grew by 24% as compared to Q2 of the previous year, As we are primarily focused on the international sector, ETF sales is yet to pick up as scheduled international flights are still not allowed to operate. With global gasoline demand near pre-pandemic level, tight global supplies with reduced exports from China has led to improvements in MS crack to average of $9.7 per barrel in Q2 from an average $8.05 per barrel in Q1 of FY21-22. In case of HSD, steep increase in LNG prices coupled with winter heating demand have led to elevated cracks in HSD at $8.13 per barrel in Q2 from $6.9 per barrel in Q1 of current year. When we compare Q2 to Q1 of current financial year, the Indian basket of crude oil has increased to $72 per barrel from $67 per barrel of Q1, and the rupee has been hovering around 74 per dollar. BPCL GRMs have improved to $6.04 per barrel in Q2 as compared to $4.12 per barrel in Q1 of the current fiscal. The refinery throughput was at 104% of the nameplate capacity in Q2 as compared to 82% for Q2 in the last year. The throughput for both the refineries was at 7.16 MMT for the quarter ended 30th September as compared to 5.63 MMT in Q2 of previous year. The refinery's throughput has considerably improved due to the increase in demand post second wave of COVID. The distillate yield in Q2 of current year is 86.45% as compared to 87.62% for Q2 of the previous year. For Q2, the revenue from operations stood at 101,632 crore as compared to 65,912 crore for Q2, mainly by increasing volumes as well as increase in the prices. The profit after tax at 2,694 crore as compared to 2,248 crore in Q2 of previous year. During quarter 2, BPCL has acquired 2.69 crore share warrants of BORL held by Government of Madhya Pradesh for 72.65 crore, paving the way of merger of the company with BPCL. Further, the board in its meeting held on 21st October has approved the amalgamation of BORL with BPCL, subject to requisite approvals. Again, at the capex target of 10,000 crore for financial year, we have almost spent 6,554 crore during the 6-month period. This includes BORL investment of 2,472 crore. Our borrowing as on 30th September has significantly reduced from 26,315 crore level as on 31st March to 21,000 crore. These are excluding the lease obligation amount amounting to 7,900 crore. The debt equity ratio as on 30th September at the end of Q2 is at 0.44, as again at 0.74 at the end of Q2 of previous financial year, and 0.3 at the end of June 21. As of 30th September 2021, we have only around 120 crore outstanding, which is receivable from Government of India. There is no under-recovery for SKO, PDS, and only marginal subsidy in LPG during the current quarter gone by. I now invite for questions and for any clarification. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. I just have two questions. One is that if you look at refining throughput, obviously it has definitely improved from Q1 of this year and as well as from, you know, the very low levels hit in H1 of last year, rather. Any timelines which you can see where refining throughput will get back to the 8.4 million ton kind of trajectory that we were consistently doing, let's say, over 2Q through to, you know, 4Q of FY20. By when do you see demand, strengthening to that point where we can achieve those kinds of throughputs?
Yeah.
That's my first question.
Okay. Yeah. If you see our peak throughput we have achieved in 1920, which is almost 31 MMT per year. That means almost
right,
8.8. Almost closer to the 8 MMT per quarter. So
sure.
This quarter we have achieved 7.16, and the current month, based on the current trends, we will be crossing beyond 100% of my nameplate capacity. What we are expecting, Q3 will be around 7.5, 7.6 level MMT. If the demand continuously growing at these levels and HSD growth comes back to the positive levels, most probably for Q4, we may reach the pre-pandemic level of throughput.
Okay, so for FY23, we can safely assume that, you know, everything going well, no other setback, you should be getting back consistently to more than 8 million tons.
Right. Everything depends on the HSD growth. Still, we are not in a position to cross the pre-pandemic level of HSD growth, September 19 levels. We are expecting, in case everything normalizes, the growth will come back by end of this year. So if that happens, definitely our throughput will come back to the normal levels.
Got it, sir. And the second question, and I know that you don't comment on specific marketing margins, but if I were to derive that number based on the refining data and all those other segments, the blended marketing margins seem to have actually strengthened quite a bit in this quarter compared to, you know, the last quarter in Q1. Any specific reasons for that, or it is a function of improving demand that has sort of driven this?
I think there is no specific reason. You have to see the margins over a longer period. You cannot compare only on quarter-on-quarter or month-on-month basis.
Sure.
The same stand we are taking on a longer-term basis, we will be in a position to retain our margins.
So is it fair to say, sir, the average blended margin, let's say for H1, what has been there, we can expect broadly a replication over H2 as well, things going, everything else remaining normal?
Hopefully, if the crude prices are stabilizing at certain levels, or if there is any improvement in the crude prices, means on the positive side, for example, if there is any reduction in the crude prices, maybe definitely on a longer term basis, we can retain the margins if there is no further increase.
Got it. So one last question, if I may. Any clarity from SEBI in terms of the open offer or not for the listed investments as part of the divestment process? Anything you can share with us?
There is no development happened in this particular aspect during this quarter too. Our intention is to continue our stake in IGL and Petronet LNG because these are the strategic investments. So we are still working with the government of India to ensure to continue our stakes in these companies and how do we avoid the open offer and other. But there is no development happened in this Q2.
There is no regulatory clarity as of now, is what you're saying.
There is no much development happened in this aspect in Q2.
Got it, sir. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you so much and a very happy Diwali to all of you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead. Ramesh, sorry to interrupt you. Your voice is not coming clear.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, please.
Yes. Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Gupta. Congratulations on assuming charge as Director of Finance, and good morning, team. I just have a couple of thoughts on the operating performance. If you see, there's a divergence in the margins, refining margins in Mumbai and Kochi, if you compare it with the year-ago levels. So how do you explain the increase in Mumbai versus the decline in Kochi? That's the first question. And then how do we read this increase in the high sulfur crude as a percentage of your normal crude processed?
For Q2, if you see the refining margins, both the refineries put together average is 6.04. Kochi was at 5.54 and MR was 6.54. Definitely, Mumbai refinery, the refining margin generally it will be higher as compared to Kochi refinery. Mainly, we have some value-added units in Mumbai refinery, mainly LOPS and other product. And otherwise, Kochi refinery, even we have a Brent-Dubai differential of around 1.83, we should be favorable for Kochi refinery, but at the same time, the Saudi Aramco OSPs were higher, leading to setting up the gain what we have in terms of Brent-Dubai differential, mainly for high sulfur. Otherwise, Kochi would have been better than MR, Mumbai refinery. But whatever Brent-Dubai differential we have seen in Q2, but it is partly offset with setting up with Saudi Aramco OSPs were higher, the premiums.
Okay, and the second thought is in terms of your expenses, there's a sharp decline in staff costs. So how do we see the trend for staff costs going forward? Will it be keeping in line with the second quarter numbers, or will it keep changing depending on the extent of, you know, VRS?
if you compare Q2 of previous year, definitely last year Q2 there is an exceptional expenditure mainly related to the VRS. So after manpower go out under VRS, today our number of manpower is very lean, and we are expecting at this level it will become a new normal for employee cost. Per quarter, more or less, it will be in the similar line. And we don't have any plans for any new recruitments, and the manpower will be in the similar range only.
Okay. And in terms of the CapEx plans now, you have done the petrochemical startup. So when do you see the commercial results of the petrochemical project in Kochi?
PDPP, out of three units, two units already we have commissioned, but only in one unit after commissioning, after running couple of days, there are some technical glitches we are facing, but it is in the stabilization period we are expecting by mid of November 15. We can tackle the technical problem. Maybe end of November or December, we are expecting the three units can come back to the normal operations. Maybe in Q4, we can see good performance in terms of PDPP output. That is what we are looking at it.
Yeah, if I may just squeeze in one last thought. On the merged accounts you have published for the half year, does it now show the 100% integration of the Bharat Oman refinery after the merger?
In standalone, there is no impact of the merger of BORL in standalone account, but definitely in consolidated account, since it become a 100% subsidiary company, the consolidation happened on line-by-line basis. It reflects in consolidated accounts.
Okay, thank you very much, and Diwali greetings to all of you, and all the best. I'll join the two. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kiran Mehta from UV Caps. Please go ahead. Sorry, Kirtan Mehta from UV Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just to sort of understand further on the petrochemical projects that has been implemented, what is the incremental margin addition that you have observed in the Q3?
Due to the margins, if you ask us, because the production is not very significant, very small quantity only the production has come out, around 29 or 30 TMT production has come out. If you ask us in terms of the margins, the prices are very good, but only thing, the product availability is not there in Q2. So the margins may not be very significant in terms of total contribution in EBITDA from petrochemicals.
Do you still consider it to be adding around $1 margin that you have been guiding earlier?
Yes.
To the average refining margin of the Kochi refinery.
That is what we are expecting, even assuming not at peak prices of petrochemicals, even in the long-term average petrochemical prices. If all three units run together, definitely it adds around $1 in terms of the GRM. But however, after removing the expenses and other things, the NRM may be lesser than GRM levels. But otherwise, we are expecting at GRM level, $1 it should add.
Understood. And would you be able to share further updates on the divestment of the stake by government? What are the events which has happened during the quarter, and what are the next steps from here?
Once again, let me clarify, disinvestment process is handled by Government of India, by Department of Public Investment and Asset Management. BPCL is only facilitating the completion of the formalities. We have already opened the data room, and we continuously providing whatever data requirements coming from the transaction advisor. And some of the clarifications, transaction advisor is sending some of the clarification. We are regularly replying for those clarifications. So this is the process it is going on. Beyond that, we cannot comment anything on this. And Government of India has time and again mentioned in the public also that disinvestment of BPCL shall be completed by March 22.
During the last call, you had mentioned that the meeting for the bidders with the management of BPCL was the next step. So has that been completed yet?
Nothing has moved in that direction, at least in this quarter. Nothing has happened.
And do you still see the Q4 timeline being adhered to, or do you see a risk to the timeline? I know it's again managed by the department, but your interpretation of the timeline?
We are hopeful.
As I think mentioned by Mr. Gupta, the process is being run by Government of India. our role is largely to assist the government and the transaction advisors in facilitating the responses and the data which has to be provided to the prospective bidder. So I think that's what it is there from our side.
Thank you, sir. I'll get back into the queue. Happy Diwali greetings.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarda from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. So just wanted to check Bina operational and financial details for 1H.
Yeah.
In July, the profit after tax was 213 crores and the GRM was 6.2. That is Q2.
Okay. By when you think the merger should get completed?
Generally, the merger process takes place around 6 to 9 months after submission of our application. Within the timeline, it should happen. Let us see how the regulatory formalities moves.
Sure. And on DDP, if I got it right, did you say that in 4Q FY22, you would expect like normal operations and maybe that $1 GRM benefit getting realized, or will it be more in FY23?
We are hoping, because mid of November or end of November, whatever technical issues we are facing now with one of the unit, that we can resolve. After that, maybe in Q4, maybe all the three units we can run. If that happens, if the prices are peak level, the GRS will be much more than $1. At prices, if there is any further softening of the prices of petrochemicals, maybe at least we can keep around $1 GRS.
Got it. Sure. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the call, sir. Just a couple of questions. First was on the marketing side. If you can just share with us on terms of your market shares around diesel, gasoline, and some of the other key products on the industrial side.
So for April to September, BPCL in MS retail, we have 28.96% market share. HST, it is 29.37%. Industrial and commercial, it is 18.61. I'm talking about half year.
Mm-hmm.
And LPG, it is 26.76. In case of quarter, MS, it is 29.22%. HST, it is 29.91%. INC is 18%. And LPG is 26.98%. Overall, we have a market share of 24.32 for the quarter.
And ma'am, can you just talk a bit about in terms of your strategy now going forward, considering the focus that you were talking about on highways, etc. Can you just talk about how you're kind of trying to integrate the new energy side of the business along with the stations, and what are the plans around that, and how are you kind of thinking about deploying CapEx around it?
Yeah, one is in the marketing side. Actually, broadly, 2-3 teams we are focusing. One is making some of the major retail outlets as energy stations. So this will cater the needs of MSHND as well as CNG, plus the new alternative fuel requirements, mainly for energy stations, mainly for charging points. Beyond that, in a large scale, we are putting good amount of investments in the digital. There is a complete changeover of customer experience. Maybe some of the initiatives recently we have launched, one is that UFill, where the customer can make the payment through QR code, and they can go to the retail outlet. Yes, they can scan the QR code, and they can take the product, and it will ensure the correct quantity and value product. So these are the digital initiatives we are taking. And beyond that, we are refocusing again on the putting more investments in the convenience stores, mainly for retailing at retail forecourt. So these are the broader themes we are focusing in retail. Charging stations, putting more gas facilities, either CNG or LNG at highways, and plus consumer retailing for convenience stores. Broadly in retail, we are doing this.
during this year,
and just once
we'll be adding 2,550 outlets. In Q2, we have already added 485. This is beyond the 130 outlets we have added in the Q1.
So in terms of network expansion, already we are number 2. We are present at 19,600 levels. By 22 or mid of 23, the expected refinery the retail outlet expansion will complete. With this, we are sure the market share, we can get good amount of market share increase with this expansion and focusing on the highways and a little bit more on the retail side, rural side.
So just one number, if you can help us with, like in terms of non-fuel revenues on the marketing side, how much is that as of today for you guys?
Today it will be very small. Non-fuel retailing, projectly our model is only giving space for rental. That is the only model we are working on it. Contribution at EBITDA level or EBITDA level, it is very insignificant. Maybe 50 to 60 crore I can say in retail. Maybe some other SBUs, maybe beyond LPG and other thing, maybe adding 50 crore. All put together, it may not be much beyond 100 crore.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidyadhar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question is the amalgamation of BORL with BPCL, which you have approved and which you said could take 6 to 9 months, is it in any way likely to interfere with the privatization process? And then will privatization happen only after amalgamation is done, or that's not the case?
At least we are not forcing any problem in terms of the privatization. Business as usual definitely helps increase in the value of the organization. So I don't think any issues it creates. It's a normal merger.
No, not that way. I'm saying in terms of timeline. In the sense, if let's say...
We are not forcing anything because it is a 100% subsidiary company merger. In fact, if you see consolidated financial statements, already we are merging these accounts. So I don't think any difficulties or any roadblocks for privatization.
Okay, you are basically saying that this is not going to delay privatization.
I don't think, because already we are publishing the consolidated accounts along with the BORL.
Sure, just wanted to check that. The second question was on what are your, how have sales volumes on petrol and diesel and crude throughput in October? Some color if you could give.
MS, still it is growing at a robust number.
So, October. Actually, October final sales figure are collated, you know, at the end of month. But seeing the trend, still, MS has shown is showing growth. HSD sales, they are yet to pick up. And the same trend continues for October as of now.
And what about throughput?
Throughput, as I think Gupta sir has already covered that. But just to reiterate, throughput, we are already operating in October above the nameplate capacity of 100. And we expect the trend to continue and only increase with the demand going up.
Thanks a lot. That's it from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Smartsun Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. A very good morning to you, and excellent as a set of results from BPCL, and a season greetings to you and the entire team, sir. Sir, I have two questions broadly. One is on the business and the second is on the strategic sale. So, sir, firstly, I'll touch upon the strategic sale point. So, sir, in that, I have a couple of things which I wanted to, you know, if you can give us some clarity, is that are there any pending queries from the bidders, you know, which still needs to be answered? That's the first part. And, sir, secondly, you know, on the point which you touched upon just now, and you said that, you know, hopefully, you know, you guys think that the process should be completed by Q4. So in that, sir, you know, what if you can help us understand is, it's very different, right? Because when you say the process should be completed, would that also include the SEBI open offer to investors, you know, by Q4? Because the reason I ask that is because if that's the case, then, you know, the process will actually have to start moving on to the next level of financial bids very shortly. So if you could just kind of, you know, help us understand, you know, that, you know, do you expect that, you know, if the process is to be completed by Q4 and the government is to include, you know, the 75,000 crore which they are provisioning from BPCL in the budget receipt, then technically, you know, we are very close to the financial stage bids. So are there any queries which need to be answered and, you know, any interaction which still need to be done, or it's all done? And sir, secondly, on the business point of view, if you can help understand how many outlets, you know, you were saying that you were going to add, and I'm sorry, I missed that part. And just one last thing, you know, on the on the recovery, you said there are only 120 crore rupees outstanding, right? That's all. So we have no more receivables from government. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, first of all, for armed privatization, we don't have any clear calendar of events with us, because anyhow, say the transaction advisor and Government of India only can comment. Otherwise, whatever in media reports, Government of India made statement, they want to complete by FY21-22. We are also hopeful they may complete before that date. Otherwise, from our side, our role is very limited, only providing the data and replying the queries. And second thing, discussions with the management not had happened in Q2, and we don't know what is the schedule of that and other things. So beyond that, we cannot comment anything in the process. And second thing, business side, the retail outlet expansion, we have current quarter, we have commissioned around 485 Q2 and around 130 outlets we have commissioned in Q1. Maybe another 400 or 500 outlets we are going to commission in this year. Maybe by mid of next year, we may close it to the network expansion. Then other initiatives we will focus to improve our market share.
Okay. And sir, I mean on the LPG part?
LPG, what are your questions?
No, no, sorry. If I heard correctly, you said that the total outstanding is only 120 crore.
Yeah.
That's all the outstanding from government?
Right. Yes. So from Government of India, the total recoverables are only 120 crore. Because whatever small subsidy, after submission of the bills, they are continuously making payment. Otherwise, there is no major outstanding. We are at 120 crore.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. So, so I have three questions. Firstly, first one relates to LPG. So you mentioned that LPG do not have any subsidy right now, but considering the sharp hike in global LPG prices over the last few months, are you making positive margins on non-subsidized LPG or are you absorbing some?
On margins, we cannot comment anything on the margins. But subsidies, yes, in some particular periods of time, there is a small subsidy in certain market. But overall, the subsidy component is very small, what Government of India is reimbursing under subsidy. On margins, we cannot comment anything on.
Okay. Second question relates to your CAPEX. So you said around rupees 10,000 crore is the CAPEX for FY22. So FY23, what would be the guidance?
As of date, we have certain projects in our thought. The feasibility studies are going on, but we are not at concluded stage what is the amount we have to commit for next year. Excluding those new projects, the normal CAPEX we are expecting around 10,000 crore for next year, 22-23. In case if anything we conclude on the new projects, definitely these numbers will go up. But otherwise, as of date, the next year normal CAPEX we are expecting around 10,000 crore.
So if you consider strictly project price, I guess you have included the polyol project in this or not?
Not for next year, not a big amount, but still we are reworking on the total numbers for polyol. So once we conclude accordingly, there may be a revision in the numbers.
Okay, and retail outlet addition annually will be around 1500 to 2000, that's right?
Next year it may not be that much. Next year it may not be that much.
This year it will be 1500.
Yeah, well, maybe 1000 or 1200. We have a target of around 1,500, but we may close around 1,200 to 1,300.
Okay, sir. And sir, last question is relating to again a clarification on this PDPP. So you have mentioned that $1 GRM accretion will happen to Kochi refinery. So that is because of producing propylene versus LPG. That's right.
Propylene versus LPG plus propylene and petrochemicals price differential. So both put together. the final value addition at GRM level, one is propylene to LPG, that conversion, whatever differential, there is an advantage. From
right.
propylene to conversion to the petrochemical, whatever value addition, both components put together, definitely it should add $1 here.
So you are saying that petchem segment, whatever profit comes, for example, the difference between, say, butyl acrylate and propylene, that difference is also captured in this one.
Right, right. Assuming not at the current peak prices, on a long-term average basis.
This we are talking only at the refinery level. Further, there will be marketing margin.
There will be some small marketing margin.
And marketing margin will be on top of that. That will be based on the Indian demand condition.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manikanta Gare from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Just want to check on your earlier statement. You are saying that by middle of next year, RO addition should help you maintain market share. Does that mean that after that your RO retail outlet addition may decelerate? Is that what you are alluding to?
Not this speed. Like, for example, last couple of years, we have made additions of around 2,000-2,500 retail outlets for over a period of 2 years. So the expansion may not be that magnitude. That is what I'm trying to say. Maybe wherever important markets are there, those important markets, we may add retail outlets, but not like every year addition of 1,000-1,500 retail outlets.
Okay, so what would be those markets that will be focused on highways and rural?
Yeah, right.
Understood. And the second question is on the digital side. And I think you are mentioning that a lot of investments are going into digital as well. Earlier, I think you have highlighted UPIL.
Yeah.
So what are the key digital initiatives that you have implemented so far which are helping you? Where you have seen a lot of traction. Can you just list out?
We are working on 3-4 themes. One is one customer and chatbot, and in retail UPIL, and a new loyalty program. Many initiatives we are working on it. Whatever we have implemented, two important things we have implemented. One is UPIL we have implemented. It is working well. And second one is migration of conventional point of sale to Android-based point of sale. These two initiatives already we have completed. In some of the non-marketing areas also, we have done some digital initiatives. Mainly command control at one particular single place. We can see entire all over India what is going on at various depots, at various retail outlets, and including the refineries. There are many initiatives we are taking, but under work in progress. Maybe by next quarter, we can come and explain what exactly the initiatives, how the customer experience is changing.
Understood. Just on this point only, how do we quantify the benefits of these digital initiatives that you are doing? Is it more on the costs or the customer retention or the revenue? How do we quantify this? How do you think about the
quantification? In terms of quantification, the basic objective is the customer experience. Definitely, it will add on the volumes, but we are not sure what extent actually it has helped because the initiatives are started just now. Maybe after a couple of quarters, we can work out what exactly there is a rub off on account of the digital initiatives in terms of the volumes. But definitely there is a different customer experience.
Sure, sir. Just one last question on this angle again. I think you have started door delivery of petrol diesel as well, right? From startup.
Yeah,
there you go. How is the traction there, and who are the customers who are utilizing this predominantly?
We have two initiatives here. One is door delivery through browser, and second one is we have recently launched selling of diesel through jerry cans. It's a 20 liter jerry can, so that from retail outlet through a sealed jerry can, the product can reach to the customer. For example, whoever is the consumers, mainly for pump sets and diesel sets. If they want any diesel, they need not come to the retail outlet. Straight away, this 20 liter packed jerry can reach to them. And in a big consumers, mainly for any housing societies and any industries, if they want large-scale diesel consumption, they can take this product through browsers. Today, presently, we are having a retail fuel cart of around 537 numbers. We are operating browsers.
So on these, you earn more marketing margin?
The margins are everything is same only because this is the RSP, whatever margin is loaded with the customer. From there only the sharing will happen. Otherwise, marketing margins will be more or less same only. It's only we are delivering the product at customer point in a separate retail outlet.
Then that is an additional cost for you.
Yes, maybe dealer margin is also there. There may be some sharing from the dealer margin.
Yes, so there is this delivery assistance scheme under which we recover this cost.
Recover from dealer?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much and happy Diwali greetings to all of
you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Iqbal Khan from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. My question is answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Rastogi from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Could you clarify that the open offer required for IGL and Petronet? We got some clarifications from SEBI. So what did we hear from them?
As already I have clarified, there is no development happened during this quarter. So we once again we are saying that we have no intention to sell our stakes. We want to continue stakes in these two companies because these are the strategic investments. But otherwise there is no development happened in that open offer side, exemption for open offer side during this quarter.
This means that the open offer is applicable for Petronet and IGL. Means SEBI has not given any exemption.
As of date, as per SEBI regulation, that applies.
Okay, sir. Got it. Sir, thanks a lot and wish you all the best and a happy Diwali to all the participants. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir.
Sir, your voice is not clear.
Yeah, sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, but not so
clear. There's no disturbance from your background, so a lot of eddy sound coming.
Yeah, is it okay now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, so I just wanted your thoughts on the future prospects for Bharat Raman based on the numbers you have said from the second quarter. Assuming these sort of margins, can this kind of profit be sustained given that you also repaid some loans? So how do we read the future performance of Bharat Raman from here?
Yeah, to,
so if you look at the refining performance, I think the BRL has also done quite well in terms of physical performance as well as the financial performance. And since the loan has been repaid, so going forward, we see a very good refining margin coming from BRL.
Okay, and the second thought is on the CGD business with the rollout of the new GAs. Can you give us how many GAs you are going to roll out in the say next 2 to 3 years in your standalone balance sheet, and what is the kind of impact it will have on your P&L in terms of some rough indication or in terms of volumes? That would be great.
BPCL along with BGRL, we have now 17 GAs, of which we will be spending over 8,000 crores in the next coming 5 years. In these 17 GAs, already supply of CNG and PNG has come, started in around 11. 5 is just under construction balance. In all the 17 GAs, construction is also parallelly going on. On what would be the expected returns, we won't be able to share a number as of now.
Just to add, however, the IRR is pretty good and we have also technically commissioned some 64 number of retail outlets in these GAs. And just to compare, out of that 8,000 crore capex which ma'am told, some 1,200 crore capex we have already done.
Yeah, so just to get a sense in terms of when we can see the commercial results, is there any timeline you can give, say FY23, 24?
If you see all the GAs, these are all long extension projects. Maybe some projects we may have to complete within a period of 5 years, some are within a period of 8 years. But in a phased manner, some benefits will accrue. Even starting from next year also, some benefits may accrue. But what exactly the benefits, we have to work out and see. Maybe next time we can explain.
Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinit Joshi from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for your time. My first question is on the ethanol blending. Can you please help us understand how does this impact earnings? We are already at 10% and the target is to go to 20%. So would it mean additional cost or additional margins? How should we think about it?
So actually, ethanol blending, currently the target of 10%, so we are on the way to achieve that target. With respect to the enhanced target of 20%, which we have to comply with in future, so actually there are various issues, unresolved issues which are yet to be figured out, because first of all, the existing vehicles in market, they can only take in ethanol blended MS, only up to 10% ethanol blended MS. So the automobile manufacturers have to comply with those new specifications. And other than that, there are also issues like at a retail outlet, there would certainly be old engines only, because in a country like India where life cycle of a car is at least some 5 to 6 years. So the old vehicles also would be there. So whether any retrofitment would be there in the vehicles. So there are many unresolved issues which are yet to be figured out and which shall be dealt with jointly with the automobile manufacturers, Government of India and all the OMCs, as well as refineries. So to chart out a way right now is difficult, but all of us are on the job to achieve the target of 20%.
I wanted to understand, is it margin accretive or margin dilutive, right? Because we have gone from like 2-3% to 10% commendably in the last 3-4 years, right?
So does it
increase your margins or does it reduce your margins?
So there is no effect on the margins as such due to ethanol blending.
It's only a timing difference.
Okay. All right. And sir, can you also help us understand the business model of EV charging? When you are, let's say, adding a EV charger to your station, is the capex done by third party where you're tying up with some electricity provider and you're making a fixed margin on each charge, which means it's an additional, revenue opportunity for all the outlets? Or does it mean that you also have to incur capex to, set up a station with EV chargers? So if you can just help us understand, I'm sure it will be evolving. But how should we think about in future to model the earnings from this business?
And rightly you said, still it is evolving. But however, as a rough estimation, in a particular retail outlet, depends on the charging points we want to make it available. The capex requirement may be 3 lakh to 10 lakh rupees. That is the range for putting the capex investment. But as of today, wherever we have already around 40-50 charging stations we have started, there the capex has been invested by the BPCL only. And we are looking at various options, maybe with tie-up with some of the service providers, or we are not sure how do we go about it. Either we make our own investment, because it doesn't require any big amount of capex investment. Even per retail outlet, an average 5 lakh rupees, 6 lakh rupees if we have to invest. Even 1,000 retail outlets if we want to make it, I don't think it will be much beyond a 50 crore capex requirement. But revenue models, we are not very clear what numbers we can generate, what number of vehicles will come to the retail outlet and charging, what volumes, that we are not yet clear at this point of time. But otherwise, yes, for giving a facility at our retail outlet, we are clear, okay, around 1,000 retail outlets we want to make it as an energy station.
And this 3 to 10 lakh rupees that you mentioned, it seems quite small. I mean, how many charging points are you able to install, and what sort of charging points are you installing? Are these like fast chargers or super fast chargers? What is the charging time, if you can share anything, any experience that you've had?
No, not yet clear, because still it is evolving. Some of the manufacturers are, actually, if you ask me, the charging points are not standardized yet. Right. So whatever charging point, if I create, maybe may not be compatible for some of the vehicles. It may be compatible only for some of the vehicles. So this technology is still evolving. As long as there is no standardization happens in the charging, we are not sure at what speed this charging can happen and which vehicles it is compatible.
Okay. And so my last question, I think we've been hearing that there could be some hydrogen purchase obligation at some point in India where, refineries and fertilizer sector will have to use green hydrogen. So how are you preparing for that, if you can help us understand? Will it be like an additional cost to you in terms of meeting that regulation, or do you see this as a business opportunity for you in the long run?
We don't have information readily, but however, we'll come back to you on
this. We will answer that offline. We'll get the, take the details and come back to you.
On the topic.
Sure, thanks a lot, ma'am. Happy Diwali to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidyadhar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my question was on BORL. Just wanted to understand that will the amalgamation, because of the amalgamation, are there going to be some tax benefits, some indirect taxes which BORL was paying when it was a separate company and which it won't have to pay now, whereby the merged entity benefits from that? Is there anything like that and if it can be quantified?
We are foreseeing a couple of benefits after this merger. One is definitely in terms of economies of scale, in terms of my crude procurement. So that today crude procurement is happening at BPCL level as well as BORL level. That definitely we can find some synergy so that one level of crude procurement happens. And second, the hedging mechanism, what is happening at BPCL may not be at the same levels in BORL. So all three refineries put together, definitely there will be some good benefits. And inventory management also, it helps to reduce my inventory carrying cost. Just definitely at the same time, after the merger, it becomes a BPCL refinery. So the product movement will happen across India without having any tax implications.
Are there any benefits going to the profitability, improving profitability because of that?
Definitely, there is no tax.
Any number on that?
Number, we have to work out because these numbers are totally depends on the prices. Because if the number at crude is at $40 is different, if the number at crude is at $80 is different. But definitely whatever tax implications so will be in the range of 500-600 crore or much higher also at the current prices.
So is it the CST of 2% which is the real benefit or what is it?
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, did the BORL have any accumulated tax purpose losses which also you can benefit from?
Benefits, I don't know, but there are some accumulated MAT credits and other things. One MAT credit is there, and unabsorbed losses, business losses are there, and unabsorbed depreciation is there. We have to work out tax point of view, what exactly after the merger, how much amount is available for passing on to BPCL and other things that we need to work out as a process of this merger.
And lastly, on the same BRL thing, so in terms of debt, has BRL entirely paid off the debt, or once the merger happens, some debt will come to the merged entity? And if what could be
as of date, existing VAT loans have been settled with government of Madhya Pradesh. All other debt is still continuing with BORL. We are exploring how do we reduce the cost of fund for these debts, because you know today it becomes 100% subsidiary, and BORL the credit rating is also improved. It is in line with the BPCL. So with this latest development, we are approaching the bankers to relocate the existing loan structure and infrastructure. Definitely there will be a saving. Before the merger itself, there may be some savings.
So what was the date of BORL in end of September?
So the debt figure is around 9,300 crores.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Saurabh Handa from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. The first one, once again, was on LPG. Now the international price, the Aramco FOB price has gone up from around $660 to $800 per ton. So that would require you to raise the retail price for almost 140 rupees per cylinder. So if that were to not happen next week, because you usually do it in the first week of the month, can we assume that we could see some under recoveries or subsidies coming back? And especially because this $800 number could even go higher, given the winter tightness that we are seeing right now.
So we cannot comment anything on the expected price increases. We don't have any comments on this.
No, this is not an expected increase, sir. This $800 per ton is a published number. So we do know that the Aramco FOB price is $800 for November.
I agree. We have to see only after the price increase. Maybe after the next couple of days, what is the price increase will happen, what is the government subsidy will they will keep. Those things will comment only after the event happens.
Okay, so fine. So second question, just to clarify on the PDPP, you said so the refining segment will basically capture both the uplift in margins from producing propylene instead of LPG, as well as the petrochemical delta, so the product price minus the propylene price. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So it's only the marketing margin on the sales of the products which, if any, you will capture in your marketing segment?
Yes, that will be additional.
Okay, so there is no new like petrochemical division which you will sort of create new segments. So it will just be split between the existing refining and
Right. As of date, we have one separate SBU who are dealing in the direct product. Same business unit is dealing with petrochemicals also.
Okay, fair enough. So that's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. The first one is relating to this ethanol blending only. So is the private sector also into ethanol blending right now? Private sector ONC is also doing it right now?
No, the OMCs are doing, private sector, they are not doing
it. So they don't have any compulsion, right?
Right.
Correct.
Okay, thanks. And secondly, any idea on the core or normalized GRM for the quarter?
We won't be able to give any number to the GRM for this.
We have stopped working on any of the other ways of working on the GRM. Whatever declared GRM, that only we are calculating.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and wish you very happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh.
Yeah, so I just wanted your thoughts on this compressed biogas or bio-CNG projects which all the OMCs are trying to encourage third parties to set up. So if you're buying that CNG at 46 rupees, how does the economics work and how do you, monetize that business in terms of at what price will sell, and when do you see that actually, reflecting in your business?
So that monetization part and all that is yet to start. It is still in the nascent stage where we have floated expression of interest. So some 39 number of expression of interest we have floated so far. And some we are envisaging that expected CBG, that production against the LOIs would be around some 1,000 tons per day. So per se, we are still in the nascent stage of it. Once there is a finality to the number of ROs and where we shall be placing, it shall be going forward. So as of now, we won't be able to give any further details on this.
Yeah, but the question is, since there is a guaranteed price for lifting the bio-CNG from the manufacturer, the 46 rupees a kg, how does it become competitive with the other CNG which you yourself are retailing, and how do you, generate some margins on that? That is the, so what is the thinking on that right now, assuming that this 46 rupees is cast in stone?
So that's what I'm saying, that the further economics of it, we shall not be able to share it at this point of stage.
Still, we need to work out, one is the procurement price, second one is how do we load in the pricing of petroleum product.
Yes.
And anyhow, this production may not come in this year. Even if we issue the LOIs and sign the agreements by Q4, there is a time lap of commissioning of the units by another 1 year. Maybe 23, 24 or end of 22, 23, we can see the production coming from these units. That point of time, we can have a better idea.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, so I would like to thank Antique Stock Broking for organizing this call, and we look forward you all to meet in the next quarter results. Thank you.
Happy Diwali to all.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan for his closing comments.
Yeah, thanks everyone for taking out time to join the call on a Saturday. Have a nice day and Diwali. Thanks everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stockbroking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.